Now let's go to San Francisco, where over the next 3 years, two steel nets will be installed under the Golden Gate Bridge to stop people from jumping off of it. Putting a suicide barrier under the iconic bridge has been debated for decades. And last year on the bridge, there was a suicide or a suicide attempt almost every other day. Well, last week, the agency that oversees the bridge approved $76 million to install the nets. And joining us from the bridge now is Dennis Mulligan, general manager of the Golden Gate Bridge District and former chief engineer for the bridge. Dennis, welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, tell us more about this barrier and how it will work.
Certainly. What's contemplated is a physical suicide deterrent system. It would be a net that will be constructed about 20 feet below the sidewalk. It will extend out approximately 20 feet horizontally. And where nets have been used in a similar fashion, they've proven to be 100% effective. Apparently, suicidal people don't want to hurt themselves, and it will hurt to jump into a net. They want it in their lives. The most recent installation was on 7 bridges in Ithaca, New York, associated with Cornell University. The longest one has been up is almost 15 years now at the Munster Terrace in Bern, Switzerland.
And when you say it's effective, does it stop them from jumping, or it just catches them when they do jump?
It stops them from jumping. Where people have constructed nets, people stop jumping.
But don't they then just go and jump somewhere else?
You know, studies have shown otherwise. There's a couple of studies that have been done, one specific to the Golden Gate Bridge. We stop a lot of people from hurting themselves by jumping off the bridge. In 2013, 46 people died by jumping off the bridge, but our staff working with the California Highway Patrol stopped 118 people who were taken off the bridge for a 72-hour psychiatric hold. So we stop a lot of people. And a study was done by a UC Berkeley researcher in 1978 that went back and did a long-term mortality study of all the people we had stopped as of that juncture, 515 people. And he found that over 90% of them had not died from other violent means or suicide. And so a lot of people that try to commit suicide, it's a one-time event, and they get help afterwards. And so it's important to intervene and to stop them from being successful in that attempt.
Well, what if they do jump and they end up in that net? How do you get them out?
Early in the process, we looked at using an underbridge inspection truck that's kind of like a cherry picker, but with an articulated arm that goes underneath. Hmm. But more recently, we've looked at some of the rolling scaffolds we have in the bridge and how emergency responders could, if necessary, extract someone from the net via that method.
Now, it seems sort of callous to ask this question, given that we're talking about life and death here, but this is one of the biggest tourist attractions in the world. Is it going to alter the appearance of the bridge to have this big net underneath it?
You know, that's one of the beauties of this alternative compared to some of the other alternatives we looked at in the environmental process a couple years ago. When you drive across the bridge, you won't see it. The most common vantage points looking towards the bridge, like people riding their bikes along the waterfront in San Francisco, they go Crissy Field, they won't see it. People in the Marin Headlands looking down onto the bridge won't see it. It will be visible from the two vista points on the end of the bridge, but if you're in a boat underneath going by, it'll blend in with the steel of the bridge.
And why do you think this is happening now after all these years? I see that since the 1930s, there have been 1,600 suicides off the Golden Gate Bridge.
You know, a couple of things have changed. One is we talk more about suicide in our country. Today in the United States, more people die from suicide than from automobile accidents. We've had an uptick in the number of people coming to the bridge to hurt themselves. We've had an increase in the number of young people, teenage girls. And we also have veterans that served us in Iraq and Afghanistan that are coming home. And they survived the war over there, but they don't survive at home. And so I think there's a greater awareness in our community that suicide and mental health is a problem and that there's a variety of steps we can take to reduce the pain and loss associated with mental health.
Dennis Mulligan, general manager of the Golden Gate Bridge District, joining us from the bridge. Dennis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you're just joining us, we were speaking a moment ago with an official at the Golden Gate Bridge, which will be getting a suicide net. But there's still the question of whether it will work in stopping people from jumping to their deaths. Joining us now is one of the few people who has survived a suicide leap from the Golden Gate Bridge. Kevin Hines was 19 when he tried to kill himself back in 2000. He was struggling with mental illness at the time. He's with us from San Francisco. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, take us back to the day that you decided to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, even after you had gotten onto the bridge, that you kept that decision in your mind.
Well, you know, I always tell people that it wasn't as much of a cognitive decision as it was that I was compelled to jump off the bridge by the terrible hallucinations and voices in my head. I have a severe form of bipolar disorder, that leads me to have hallucinations, both auditory and visual. And on a particular day, I was hearing voices saying that I had to die, that I had no other option, that I was a burden to all that I loved, and that I was useless. And there I was on that bridge, wanting and wishing and praying for someone to come up to me and ask me if I was okay, because all I could think of was death, and the voices in my head were telling me that I had to die. So it was because of bipolar disorder, it was because of mental illness, and it was because my brain, my brain's chemicals were imbalanced, and it really had nothing to do with any kind of situational problem. It was solely based on my mental illness.
And we read that the moment your hands left the rails, you knew it was a mistake.
Absolutely. When people attempt suicide, quite often they're shocked into reality. And in that case, that happened to me. I was in free fall, and it was instant regret. What have I just done? I don't want to die. God, please save me. I made a mistake. And then I hit the water. It was a terrible day. It was the worst action I'd ever taken. And it almost ended up in my early demise.
But you didn't die from that. What happened when you hit the water?
Well, to be blunt, I shattered my T12, L1, and L2 lower vertebrae into shards like glass that splintered throughout my lower abdomen behind the muscle, lacerating some organs. They really just popped and splintered everywhere. I went down about 70 to 80 feet, but then I opened my eyes and I thought, what the heck? You know, I thought I was hallucinating this entire event. I thought I couldn't have just done that. That didn't just happen. And I wouldn't be alive. So, of course, it didn't just happen. But then when I finally resurfaced, after initially going down and after nearly passing out and drowning, I broke the surface and I bobbed up and down in the water, and I simply prayed, God, please save me. I don't want to die. I made a mistake. As I bobbed up and down in the water, swallowing some salt water and trying to stay afloat, only using my arms because my legs were completely immobile, something brushed by my legs, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I thought, this is ridiculous. I didn't die off that bridge, and now a shark's going to devour me. It turns out it was not a shark. It was, in fact, a sea lion, and the people above looking down who were on the bridge believed it to be keeping me afloat until the Coast Guard boat arrived behind me. All over the world, dolphins and sea lions have been recorded to do these kinds of things. I found out years later that from a man who happened to be right next to me, 2 feet away from me when I jumped, he was the one that told me after I made a comment on the news that I thought there was a shark beneath me, that it was no shark and that it was, in fact, a sea lion.
Mm. Wow.
From that point, the Coast Guard boat arrived. Within the timeline where I would not set into hypothermia, or prior to that anyway, and I know that because a woman who was driving by saw me jump, had a friend in the Coast Guard, and called that friend immediately. And that is the reason they arrived to me within less than 12 minutes before I would set in hypothermia and drown. From that point on, the third part of what I call the miracle is that I got to the hospital, and one of the foremost back surgeons this side of the West Coast was there, and he was supposed to be gone the day prior, but for whatever reason he had stayed, and he opted to do my surgery, which replaced my 3 vertebrae with titanium, allowing me the ability to walk.
Kevin, why did you decide to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, though? Why was it the Golden Gate Bridge that you went to commit suicide?
Well, like I said, it wasn't a cognitive decision, but the reason I went there was because I had seen a website by accident the night prior as I searched for a method. And sadly, there are websites out there that promote suicide, and they're made by, in my opinion, evil people. The website to say whoever you are, wherever you are in your life, and whatever you're doing, that you should die, just because that's what they're big proponents of. And on this website, it said if you go to San Francisco and you go to the Golden Gate Bridge and you jump off, you will die upon impact. Good luck! Exclamation point. And for me, as sick as I was, that was a calling card, and it mentioned about the height of the rail and. And it would just be easy and as they describe, painless. And that's the furthest from the truth. There are tens of ways to die off the Golden Gate Bridge, none of which are painless. They're all terribly violent, slow deaths. And so it was these lies that were perpetuated in my psychotic mind that brought me specifically to that point. Had there been a net or railing at the Golden Gate Bridge, you see, I had no money. I only had money to get on the bus to get to the bridge. I had no money and I had no cell phone. had there been a net or a rail, I would have been stopped immediately, and I would have been cornered, and I would have been taken to mental health care because I would have had to break down right there within my mental pain.
A net would have stopped you from jumping, or a net would have caught you after you jumped?
It would have stopped me from jumping because I would have realized what it was. It would have given me much more time, and I was already acting erratically at the bridge, you know, crying and wailing profusely. I would have been noticed, and it would have stopped me.
How are you doing now?
I'm doing very well. I'm married with a Shar Pei named Max, is the best dog in the world, and I have an amazing wife who's there for me in the thick of my mental illness, and I'm in recovery. I have this mental illness, and I deal with it every day, and I cope with it well. That doesn't mean that I don't have all of my symptoms. I have hallucinations, both auditory and visual. I have extreme paranoia most days. I have deep depressions, and I have wild manic highs caused by my brain's chemicals and not by recreational drugs. I deal with this every day, and I'm okay with that because I'm alive and I get to talk to you and I get to exist and I get to take absolutely nothing for granted anymore.
Do you ever go back to the bridge?
I did, actually. I went back with my father the year after the attempt, and we're driving. He said, "Kevin, we're going to take a drive," and I saw where we were going, and I said, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he goes, "Well, we got to find some closure, Kev." And we stopped by there was a flower bed on the way, and he said, "Pick a flower." So I picked a flower from a flower bed. So we got on the car, went all the way out to the Golden Gate Bridge parking lot. We parked, and he walked with me to exactly where I jumped, and we said a prayer, and we dropped the flower. The flower hit the water, and 2 feet to the right popped up a sea lion. So I know I'm supposed to be here, and I know there's a reason why. I guess I'll just be finding that reason out as life goes on.
Well, we're glad you're still here, Kevin. Kevin Hines, who survived a suicide leap from the Golden Gate Bridge 14 years ago and now gives suicide prevention talks. Kevin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Here and Now.